Graphic Audio. A movie in your mind.
Graphic Audio presents Elmer Kelton's Huey Calloway series. Performed by Terrence Aselford, Dylan Lynch, Christopher Sheeran, David Coyne, Eric Messner, Tim Carlin, James Lewis, Richard Rowan, Michael Glenn, Andy Clements, Ted Stoddard, Thomas Keegan, Catherine Aselford, Drew Kopus, Tim Getman, Danny Gavigan, Nanette Savard, Sherry Simpson, Christopher Graybill, James Konacek, Tom Simpson, Anastasia Wilson, Michael John Casey, Jeff Allen, Ken Jackson, Thomas Penny, Scott McCormick, Karen Novak, Amanda Thickpenny, Bobby Aselford, and Mort Shelby. Huey Calloway number 3, 6 bits a day. Huey Calloway's stomach growled like an angry bear. He hadn't been so hungry in all his 22 years. Yesterday, he and his year-younger brother, Walter, ate their last chunk of hog belly. It was so fat that he had to force it down. Now he would trade almost anything he owned for another piece of it. Not that he owned much. Everything he had was either on his back or tied to his saddle. Walter had been riding in moody silence. He pulled up beside Huey after passing around the far side of a mesquite whose thorns threatened to reach out and grab him.
Even the trees here try to tear off a strip of hide. How far do you reckon we've traveled?
Good ways.
Huey wanted to keep a cheerful face, even if doubts were weighing on him.
We ain't seen a human being in 2 days, and no game bigger than a jackrabbit. My belly is flatter than a stove lid.
Well, mine ain't no better.
There had been a few jackrabbits, and Huey shot at them with an old wooden-handled six-shooter he carried in his saddlebags. But he was no marksman. Each bullet kicked up dirt several feet from the target and set the rabbit into startled flight.
Some cowboys we are. I ain't got a pistol, and you just as well have left yours behind. I never saw such a poor shot.
Hey, you rather be chopping cotton and slopping hogs? That's all we'd have if we went back to East Texas.
Maybe we'd have a job and something to eat.
Huey saw one saving grace.
Well, at least we're a long ways west of the cotton fields. And it's been a week since we've seen a hog.
The 1880s were nearing an end, and most Texas land still open for new settlement lay in the semi-arid western region beyond the Conchos. Short, sparse grass shared ground with desert plants such as greasewood and mesquite, and a dozen kinds of thorny cactuses that lay in ambush for the careless or the unlucky. Huey and Walter's mother had died when they were boys. Over the next few years, their restless father led them in a fruitless circle from the East Texas Blacklands to Oklahoma and Kansas, searching for an ideal home he would see only in his dreams. After his death, the brothers wandered about, laboring at whatever they could find to ward off the wolves, snapping at the Calloway door as far back as Huey could remember. They struggled through a numbing variety of pick-and-shovel jobs before joining a trail outfit driving cattle to the Kansas Railroad. It turned out horseback work fit Huey like kid gloves. Now, however, the trails north were mostly closed. Farms and barbed wire blocked them off. Long cattle drives were being rendered unnecessary by the extension of railroads across Texas. Huey had heard that large ranches were building up west of the farming country and needed men willing to work. He had no objection to work if he could do it in the saddle. Unlike Walter, Huey had never been able to fit his hands properly around a plow handle.
Look, our luck's bound to change.
Huey usually accepted the vagaries of life without getting his underwear in a twist.
We'll find work out here somewhere.
Walter preferred a sparrow in the hand to a hawk on the wing.
If we don't starve to death first. I can imagine somebody finding us 5 or 10 years from now, two little dried-up husks laying out on the prairie. Kind of like a pair of old corn cobs with the shuck still on.
Coyotes would chew us up long before that.
Huey toyed with the mental image.
I wish a coyote would show itself. I'd eat him before he could eat me.
Not if you had to shoot him.
The brothers set out on this trip 3 weeks ago with hope and youthful high spirits. Like Pa, Huey fantasized about the far hills and what might lie beyond. He envisioned a horseback life of freedom and adventure, excitement and glory. The trouble was that he was more than 10 years too late to share the fighting against Comanches and Kiowas, and the buffalo were gone. Most of the famous outlaws were dead too, like Billy the Kid and Sam Bass and Jesse James. So far as Huey could see, the cowboy life was about all that remained to him. He meant to carve out a piece of it somewhere in western Texas. Walter didn't share Huey's longing for adventure. He was comfortable with what he could see and hear and touch. He would be content with a solid job where pay and meals came regularly, where tomorrow was no more of a mystery than yesterday. Huey enjoyed reading blood-stirring novels about cowboys and pirates and knights of old. Walter found satisfaction in guiding a plow and keeping a straight row. He would have been happy to spend his life as a farmer somewhere back in the Blacklands. In Huey's view, East Texas had been cottoned out. It offered no future that interested him, while West Texas promised a fresh beginning. But Huey's shining hopes gradually diminished along with the supplies he and Walter brought on the trip. At the moment, he would trade a month of tomorrows for a plate of beans.
Neither one of us would make a meal for a coyote. Even the buzzards don't pay us any mind.
They came across an occasional scattering of cattle that usually hoisted their tails and clattered off into the nearest thicket. Huey grasped at the tattered shreds of his optimism.
Where there's cows, there's bound to be a ranch. And where there's ranch, they're bound to need cowboys.
The animals were of all colors and ran more to horn than to flesh.
It takes a tough breed to make it in this western country.
You sure we're tough enough?
Our name's Calloway, ain't it? Pa carried a Yankee bullet in him for 20 years, right up to the day he died. We just gotta take another hitch in our belts.
He'd have to punch a new hole to make his any tighter. Sundown came with no sign of a dwelling or a watering place. But at dusk, Huey saw the flicker of a campfire.
Maybe they'll give us something to eat.
We ain't gonna ride in there and beg. Us Calloways have never begged for nothing.
Maybe they'll hear our stomachs growl.
Huey assumed the lead, as he usually did, being a year or so older. He put his horse into an easy lope and didn't slow down until he was within rock-throwing distance of the fire. He saw nobody.
You all lift those hands where I can see them.
The voice came from behind a bush. Huey didn't spot the man at first, or the gun, but his gut told him they were there in the dusk.
Friend, we ain't out for no trouble.
A tall, lanky man walked into the open holding a pistol.
You must be pilgrims, or you know not to charge into a camp like that. You always holler first to find out if you're welcome.
A shiny badge reflected the firelight. Law officers made Huey uneasy. Back where they came from, he'd had a couple of run-ins with old Sheriff Noonan, a man with a stern commitment to the letter of the law. There was, for instance, the time Huey slipped over to old man Babcock's farm one night and whacked off all the pigs' tails. A pen full of bob-tailed pigs looked funny to Huey, but Babcock and the sheriff missed the humor in it. The jail cot was the hardest bed Huey ever tried to sleep on.
Well, don't shoot, mister. We'll ride on and not bother you no more.
Moving closer, the man gave each brother a moment's study, then slipped the pistol back into a holster on his hip. The frown slowly left his thin face.
Well, I had to be certain of your intentions. Name's Len Tanner.
Well, ours is Calloway. I'm Huey and he's Walter. Pleased to make your acquaintance.
Huey kept looking at the badge. It was circular with a star in the center.
You a sheriff?
Texas Ranger.
Tanner touched his forefinger to the badge.
Pretty, ain't it? Had it made out of a Mexican peso.
Huey judged that Tanner was well into middle age. Firelight exaggerated the facial creases and the roughness of skin weathered by sun and wind. It crossed Huey's mind that a ranger must lead an exciting life. Maybe better even than a cowboy's. But he didn't dwell on the notion long, for he knew he was too poor a marksman to be accepted into such a demanding organization. Huey couldn't hit a barn from the inside. The campfire drew his attention. A small coffee pot sat on the coals. A half-cooked slice of beef lay in a skillet on the ground. Tanner probably set it off to one side when he heard the horses coming.
Well, I'd trade you a good pocket knife for some of that.
Already got a knife.
Tanner picked up on Huey's disappointment.
But you're welcome to share my supper. Didn't cause me nothing anyway. It's contraband.
Contraband?
Huey thought that was some kind of illegal whiskey.
Yeah, I was trailing a pair of thieves that butchered another man's beef. They ran off and left the meat behind.
You didn't catch them?
I know where they'll light. Most criminals ain't weighted down with brains.
Tanner fetched a tin cup out of a canvas bag and tapped it on his knee to dislodge a scorpion or anything else that might be in it. He handed it to Huey.
Help yourselves to the coffee. I'll heat the skillet again.
Huey filled the cup. The rim burned his lips. He handed the cup to Walter.
Hot. Needs to be blowed a little.
Huey had no compunctions about sharing a cup. He was used to drinking from cisterns and wells that had a community cup for use by anyone who came along.
I remember a story about some yahoo that dragged into town starving to death for water. They asked him why he didn't drink at one of the wells he passed along the way, and he said, I couldn't. I had no cup.
Tanner told a couple of his own while he waited for the steaks to get done. He watched, bemused, as Huey and Walter wolfed down the meat, which was sizzling hot from the skillet.
Sorry, I got no gravy.
He fried a second helping, then sat back while the brothers finished that, too.
How long since you boys left the cotton patch?
Does it show?
You both got lint in your ears. What brings you out so far from water? There ain't a decent farm in 100 miles.
Well, that's the way we want it. We're looking for cowboy work.
Cowboy life ain't exactly like the storybooks tell it. You're up before daylight and out till dark. You sweat for 30 days to earn a piddling wage you can blow in 30 minutes.
Does rangering pay better?
Not always. But a ranger don't have to put up with a bunch of bawling cows. Ain't nothing dumber than a cow unless it's a sheep.
We know. We done some cow work ourselves.
A horse is a little smarter, but not much. I've been throwed off and stomped on more times than I've ever been shot at, even being a ranger.
I notice you gotta look quick if you want to see these cattle around here. They're up and gone before you can say scat.
They ain't house broke. Some will run you ragged and try to put a horn through your gizzard. But if you're bound and determined to chase cows, well, good luck to you. I'd do better chasing outlaws.
Huey's imagination ran free as he pictured the adventures this lawman might have experienced.
How long you been a ranger?
I started in the Indian times before the big war. Wasn't much more than a skinny button then.
He was still skinny, Huey thought, but long past being a button. The talkative Tanner related stories about chasing and being chased by Comanches, and about long searches for criminals of every stripe.
For a while of late, I was down on the Rio Grande, chasing after border jumpers from both sides of the river. Big state, Texas is. And I've crossed every river in it just about. Got the scars to prove it.
He rolled up his sleeve to show a raised mark about 5 inches long.
That's one of the littlest. Knife blade done that.
Huey chilled at the thought of cold steel.
Ever hear Rusty Shannon and Andy Pickard?
Huey had not.
Me and them rode many mile together. They're out of the Rangers now. Old Rusty's married and got 2 youngins. Andy took him a pretty young wife, too.
You ever been married?
Nah, horses and dogs like me. But I don't shine in the women folks' eyes. Lord didn't choose to make me handsome. He just made me lucky instead.
After breakfast, Tanner gave the brothers most of the meat that remained. He ignored their polite objections.
It don't take much for a skinny old hole like me. You two needed to keep your strength up in this big, dry country.
Huey regretted parting company with the ranger, but Tanner was headed southward. Huey and Walter watched him ride away. Walter shook his head.
He's a great talker. You reckon half what he told us really happened?
Well, if it didn't, it ought to have.
Huey touched spurs to his horse and started west.
We ain't finding work setting here.
At the middle of the afternoon, Huey saw dust ahead, stirred by a herd of cattle.
Well, maybe somebody can point us to a job of work.
Huey urged his horse into a lope. He was halfway there before Walter caught up with him. 2 horsemen appeared from within a clump of mesquite brush, brandishing pistols. A scowling rider with 2 weeks' worth of mottled whiskers gave the two brothers an angry look.
Who are you, and what's your business here?
Staring into two formidable-looking muzzles, Huey felt a chill. He'd never been drawn to guns.
Nothing. We don't even know where we're at.
The man's belligerence slowly subsided.
Y'all ain't nothing but a pair of pumpkin rollers. We thought you might be cattle rustlers. In this country, we gotta be careful.
He holstered the pistol and gave a silent signal to his younger partner to do the same. The second man hadn't used a razor in a while either, but his stubble was more like fuzz than whiskers.
Just looking over the country, are you?
Well, what we're really looking for is a job.
Cowboys, are you?
We've been up the trail once.
The man considered for a minute.
Well, me and Chum here could use a little help. How about 6 bits a day in found?
Found?
Grub, and all the ground you need to roll out your bedding.
6 bits wasn't much, Huey thought, but it beat what they had been doing. The thought of regular grub made up for a lot.
Well, just tell us what you want done.
Fall in behind them cows and help us keep them moving. Me and Chummy been making good time by ourselves.
We can do that. What do we call you, mister?
Call me Mr. Smith. You don't have to mister my partner, just call him Chum.
Huey rough counted about 100 cows in this bunch. Most had calves. He couldn't see that driving them offered much challenge. They appeared to have been driven far and hard already. Heads down, they drooled and dragged their feet. Many calves had fallen to the dusty rear, unable to keep up with their mothers. Cows kept stopping and turning back, bawling for their offspring. The smell of their saliva and fresh, warm manure was strong in Huey's nostrils. Smith and Chum left Huey and Walter in the dust and took positions farther ahead. After a while, Smith turned back.
You're letting the drags fall behind. Punch them up.
These calves ain't got much left in them to punch. How much farther do they have to go?
I'll let you know when we get there. Keep pushing.
Walter rode over beside Huey.
He's gonna walk the hooves plumb off of them.
Well, they're his, so it's none of our worry as long as we get paid.
Nevertheless, he disliked seeing animals punished, especially small calves.
I don't see where it'd make much difference if it took a little longer. Cows don't know what time it is.
He noticed that most of the cows were branded CC and earmarked with a swallow fork. Several bore a J-Bar brand and a different mark.
You don't suppose... No, they wouldn't be.
Be what?
Nothing. I don't know why I said anything.
Huey puzzled over what Walter might have been thinking, but he didn't dwell on it for long.
Well, we've got what we came for. A paying job that'll feed us.
Smith didn't stop the drive until after sundown. Chum built a small fire to boil coffee and fried just enough bacon to neutralize the hunger pangs. He took the bacon away from the heat while it was still a little raw.
We gotta put this fire out. They can see it for a long ways in the dark.
Huey knew it was best not to question the boss, but he couldn't rein in his curiosity.
Who's they?
Injuns.
Well, I thought all the Injuns were on the reservation.
Never can tell when some of them bucks may bust out. A herd like this would be easy pickings.
Huey thought Smith was overcautious. It had been years since he'd heard of any Indian trouble.
All the Indians I ever saw was tame ones.
Smith studied their back trail. His eyes narrowed.
You boys are too young to remember the old days. Once you heard a war whoop, you never forget it.
Huey looked in all directions.
I don't see anything.
Because when you don't see anything, you better be extra careful.
Huey hoped Smith would tell about some of his adventures with Indians, but unlike Tanner, he was not a talker. He held his cards close to the vest. Smith poured a second cup of coffee.
You boys take the first watch. Me and Chum will leave you after midnight.
The cattle were so leg-weary that they bedded down easily once the cows and calves paired up. Huey saw little danger that they would stampede in the night. The moon was full. He rode a slow circle around the herd and met Walter coming from the other direction.
I ain't heard you singing to them.
With my voice, they jump and run.
Yeah, I've heard you in church. You ain't no nightingale.
Pa taught Huey how to tell time in a general way by the position of the stars as they made a slow circle in the night sky. He judged it was considerably past midnight. Smith rode up to him.
See or hear anything?
Nothing but a cow with the croup. No Indians.
There's other things to worry about besides Indians. It'd be a shame if cattle rustlers was to take this herd before we can get it to the ranch.
Where's that?
Other side of the Rio Grande.
Smith jerked his head in a southward direction.
Better get a little sleep. We'll be driving them hard again tomorrow.
The pace is tough on the calves.
I'll worry about the stock. You just do what I hired you for.
Huey shrugged. Though he felt sorry for the cattle, it was none of his business if the boss worked them down to hide and bone. It just didn't seem logical for an owner to mistreat his property. This herd was worth money. He met Walter before reaching camp.
I could use a cup of coffee.
Chum told me not to start that fire again. He's worried about cow thieves seeing it.
No self-respecting cattle thief would be out stirring around at this time of the night.
But orders were orders, and they hadn't earned but 6 bits apiece so far. In the dark, Huey had a hard time finding a place smooth enough to spread his blanket. Something kept poking him in the back. He finally got sleepy enough to ignore it. By the time he came fully awake, the sun was rising. He saw that Walter was sitting up, listening.
I hear horses running.
Huey flung the blanket aside and stood up. He saw two horsemen moving south in a long lope, leaving the herd behind.
That's Smith and Chum. Must be chasing a runaway cow.
Looks more like they're being chased.
Walter pointed to horsemen approaching rapidly from the north. 4 men split off in pursuit of Smith and Chum. 4 others came toward the herd. Huey felt sudden apprehension.
They may be the cattle thieves Smith was worried about.
Or maybe the real thieves are them two we hired on with.
Huey's eyes widened as the suggestion soaked in.
You think we've been driving stolen cattle?
It crossed my mind.
Well, then we're in a mess of trouble. Geez, I wish you'd told me what you was thinking.
You're the oldest. You're supposed to be the smartest.
Out of suspicion of myself. I was just too anxious about getting a job and something to eat.
Those people look pretty mad.
Well, just trying to appear innocent. Like we don't know nothing. That ought to come natural.
The 4 riders seemed to bristle with guns. Huey assumed the oldest was the leader. He was a smallish, skinny man of middle age, or perhaps a little past. It was hard to tell through several days' growth of whiskers. He pointed a pistol that appeared from Huey's angle to be larger than he was. The man wore a dusty, misshapen old felt hat with deep grease stains and a wide brim tattered along its edges. He looked as if he might have crawled out from under a freight car. He gave Huey and Walter a blistering look.
Thought you got my cows cheap, did you? 2 C's beef comes awful high.
A young man with a round, chubby face grinned with anticipation.
Let's hang him, Mr. Tarpley.
Use your head. There ain't a tree around here big enough to hang a man on.
I just thought it'd be a good lesson for him.
In the old days, we could take thieves like these and give their necks a stretching without having to go to the courthouse. Now to stir up a narrow-minded sheriff and 12 swivel-jawed lawyers.
We ain't thieves.
We caught you red-handed with my cows. I call that thieving.
But we didn't know they were stolen. Me and Walter, we just hired out yesterday. The man said they was his.
What man was that? What was his name?
Smith.
We seen 2 run off. Who was the other one?
The only name we heard was Chum.
Smith. I reckon y'all are named Jones?
Well, no, sir. I'm Huey Calloway, and this is my brother Walter. We just come from over in East Texas.
I kind of believe him, CC. They look too green to be cow thieves. Probably a couple of farm boys fresh off the plow.
What would you know about farm boys, Greedy Welch?
I was one myself, greener than a gourd vine when I came out here. I was a lot like these two.
Tarpley seemed to give at least some consideration to what this cowboy said.
If we can't hang him, can we shoot him?
Shut up, fat. We'll have to let the sheriff sort it all out.
Tarpley looked back at Huey.
You boys got any guns?
Huey pointed to his saddle lying on the ground.
Well, Walter don't. I got a 6-shooter in my saddlebags, but I can't hit anything with it.
Damn few cowboys can. Frank, go fetch it to me. And you boys saddle up. You're gonna help us drive these cows and calves back to where they come from.
Huey thought about asking him if they'd be paid for the work, but Tarpley didn't appear in a mood to discuss wages. The 4 riders who had pursued Smith and Chum returned empty-handed.
Oh, sorry, Cece, but their horses was faster than ours. One of them was that half thoroughbred you used to match races with.
Ain't but one thing lower than a cow thief, and that's a man that'd steal your best horse.
He jerked his head as a signal.
Let's take them cows home.
Tarpley studied the cattle as they moved along over the open range.
They're drawing pretty bad. You boys been running them, looks like.
Well, I told Mr. Smith he was pushing them too hard. He said he was afraid cattle rustlers might catch up to us.
It wasn't rustlers he was afraid of, it was me. There was a time when cow thieves shivered at the name of C.C. Tarpley. I ain't forgot my reputation. I'm surprised you didn't recognize my brand.
Like I told you, me and Walter are strangers here. We just hired out yesterday.
I got to have more than your word about that.
Huey watched, puzzled, as Tarpley trotted away. The rancher hardly fitted his vision of a big, important cowman. Instead of boots, he wore a pair of old lace-up shoes crusted with dirt. His saddle could have been a veteran of the first drive up the Chisholm Trail, and his clothes looked as if they might have been cast off by some passing tramp. The cowboy named Grady pulled up beside Huey. He sat in his saddle with the ease of a man who knew his way around a horse. Though he wore a loose shirt with a ripped sleeve clumsily repaired, his broad-brimmed felt hat was carefully shaped. His boots appeared to be custom-made. His leather chaps bore silver conchas, which hadn't come cheaply, and inlaid silver hearts decorated his spurs. In contrast to Tarpley, he looked as if he were trying to live up to an image shaped by the Penny Dreadful magazines.
Mr. Tarpley don't look like a cattle baron to me. I'd expect to see him swamping out a saloon.
He may not look like much, but when he shows up at the bank, they call out a brass band.
Grady rolled and lighted a cigarette and offered the sack to Huey.
What part of East Texas you boys from?
Nervous, Huey spilled more tobacco than went into the paper. He passed the sack back to Grady without offering it to Walter. He was trying to shield his kid brother from bad habits.
Our pa sharecropped over in the Blacklands.
I'm from the Piney Woods myself. Came out here 4 years ago.
Been a cowboy all that time?
That's about all there is to do, unless you want to herd sheep. That's left mostly to the Mexicans.
Grady, I wouldn't get too sociable with them boys. They're liable to contaminate you.
They've got honest faces.
So did Billy the Kid.
Tarpley let the cattle set their own slow pace, grazing as they went. By late afternoon, Huey guessed they hadn't traveled more than 5 or 6 miles. They came to a large pool where runoff from a recent rain had gathered in a depression. The cows and calves picked up the pace as they smelled the water. They eagerly crowded into it, some standing belly deep while they drank. Huey felt dry himself. He wasn't sure he wanted to drink where the mud had been stirred, but he changed his mind when he saw Grady kneel and scoop up water in his cupped hands where no cattle or horses had been.
I'm thinking about growing me a mustache. It'd serve as a strainer.
Huey tried to do as Grady did. After a couple of tries, he managed to hold enough water in his hands that he could get a decent mouthful. As he expected, it tasted of mud.
Well, this beats drinking out of a cow track. Done that a few times.
Huey looked back toward C.C. Tarpley.
Ain't you afraid I'll contaminate you?
C.C. barks loud, but he ain't got any teeth, hardly. He's a damn good cowman, even if he has got the soul of an old pirate.
Pirate?
He's big, and intends to get bigger no matter what it takes. He's a dried-up skinny little feller, but he's tied together with rawhide.
Huey grimaced. That did not bode well for him and Walter. Tarpley decided to make camp so the cattle could water again when they wanted to. He didn't feed much better than Smith had. Pursuit of the cattle thieves happened too fast to allow for much preparation. Somebody threw a bag of Arbuckle's coffee and a smoked ham into a canvas sack. That served as dinner. Now it was supper, and it would be tomorrow's breakfast if it lasted that long. In the pressure of the moment, no one had thought to pick up the little food that remained in Smith's camp. That had probably become some coyote supper by now. Huey noted that everybody in the outfit was on the lean side except for the one called Frank. It occurred to him that cowboy life might not be the best choice for somebody who loved to eat. Grady warmed a slice of smoked ham on a stick, holding it over a small fire. He offered it to Huey, who cut off half and handed the rest back.
I think a cow outfit would be eating beef.
Only if it's a stray. C.C. thinks too much of his cattle to eat them.
Frank glared at Grady.
It ain't right to feed them cow thieves when the rest of us ain't got enough.
A wagon load of groceries wouldn't be enough for you, Frank.
Funny, fancy pants cowpuncher.
Frank stalked away.
But don't pay no attention to Frank Gervin. He was born on the wrong side of the bed and been getting up that way ever since.
At least he's got a job.
The only place he makes a hand is at the table. I think C.C. keeps him on just so he's got somebody to holler at that's afraid to holler back.
Right now, Mr. Tarpley scares me a little, too.
Nah, don't let him. He's stubborn as a mule and tight as the bark on a tree. But you never saw anybody gentler when it comes to his livestock. He don't wear spurs because he don't want to hurt a horse. He won't hardly even cuss a cow, not out loud.
A hawk soared overhead. Huey envied the bird. He wished he had its wings and could simply fly away from here.
I don't know what he's liable to do to me and Walter.
I wouldn't worry too much. They don't hang cow thieves anymore. For a first offense, they just send him up for 5 or 10 years.
Grady made a thin smile, but his comment sounded too much like the truth to be funny. Toward noon the next day, Huey saw a couple of windmills ahead, towering over the scrub mesquite and greasewood. Beyond lay a long, flat-topped desert mountain.
We're coming to the ranch headquarters.
Frank Gervin drew in close, smiling wickedly at Huey and Walter.
We're short of trees, but we could hang them inside the windmill tower.
Don't bedevil the boys, Frank.
Gervin's face flushed. Tarpley rode back from the point of the herd.
We'll turn them loose on the water and let them scatter on their own. First, though, there's a few Jessup cows in a bunch. We'll cut them out.
Tarpley did the cutting himself. The rancher quietly worked his horse in and out of the herd with an ease that came from long years' experience. Grady had lauded Tarpley's abilities as a cowman. Huey could see what he meant. Tarpley removed about a dozen cows from the herd. They bore a J-Bar brand. Several had calves not yet branded.
Shorty, you and Baker drive them back onto Eli Jessup's land. Way back. Be damned if I let that old land hog fatten his cows on my grass.
Doesn't sound like he's got much use for this feller Jessup.
He'd ride bareback 100 miles to attend old Eli's funeral.
A spotted dog came trotting out to meet the horseman. It trotted alongside Tarpley's horse, escorting his owner in. The headquarters was utilitarian. The only natural trees were a few large granddaddy mesquites with thick, gnarly trunks shielded by dry, rough bark. Evidently, no one had taken time or trouble to plant domestic varieties. Huey counted 3 frame structures, unpainted but not yet old enough to have turned the gray of weathered lumber. One was obviously a barn. He assumed a long, narrow building to be a bunkhouse. A small, square one appeared to be a family residence. A woman and a girl stood on the narrow front porch, watching the riders approach.
That's Cece's wife and daughter.
Don't look like much of a house for an owner.
Cece says there'll be a time to build a big house when he's got enough land and cows to suit him. With his ambition, that ain't likely to be soon. Jessup's ranch is bigger than his, and it plagues him like a case of hives.
Huey noticed that Frank kept staring toward the house, probably Tarpley's daughter. From here, he would guess her to be 16 or so, just ripening. She was no great shakes for looks, however. The dog separated itself from the riders and moved into the shade of the Tarpley house. Tarpley's gaze lighted upon Huey and Walter.
Over yonder's a dugout that I lived in when I first come here. Ain't got but one door. We'll put you boys in there till we can get the sheriff to come out.
Tarpley nodded at Grady.
Bar the door from the outside. Keep watch on it. Thad will relieve you after a while.
The pudgy cowboy turned red in the face at the use of his uncomplimentary nickname. Huey had noticed that no one except Fat called the boss Mr. Tarpley. Everybody else said CC. Grady jerked his head as a signal for Huey and Walter to follow him. The dugout had been built into a low, gravelly bank. Its roof was of mesquite branches and bare grass clumps weighted down with dirt. The door was of rough lumber, dry and splitting. Grady opened it and looked inside.
Ain't exactly the Menger Hotel, but it's probably cooler than a bunkhouse. You might want to look it over, be sure you ain't got company. There's something about dugouts that just naturally draws rattlesnakes.
Dismounting, Huey untied his blanket from behind the cantle of his saddle and paused at the door. The place smelled musty.
What about our horses?
I'll take care of them. And I'll see to it that the cook feeds you after a while. Make yourselves to home.
Right now, I wish we had a home.
Go on now. Get out of here.
Grady shoot a couple of chickens outside, then pushed the door shut. Huey flinched at the sound of a wooden bar falling into place. The interior seemed gloomy and dark at first. As his eyes adjusted, he saw light streaming in from wide cracks in the door and holes in the roof where the dirt covering had thinned and either washed or blown away from the dry branches that supported it.
Kind of like being in jail.
I wouldn't know. Never been there.
I have. By invitation of Sheriff Noonan. The old reprobate always took things too serious.
Huey looked up at the low roof. He could see blue sky in places.
Man could probably dig through here in a little while.
And then what? We're out in the middle of nowhere.
Every place is somewhere, and there's always some place to the west of it. Come dark, we could catch our horses and get.
And get chased all the way to El Paso? I say we keep telling them what really happened. Pa always said the truth will come out if you wait long enough.
Like after 5 to 10 years in the pen?
We ought to be able to get some character references from back home.
Huey shook his head.
Well, not from Sheriff Noonan. He's had it in for me ever since the night I took his paint horse from in front of the jailhouse and tied it at Big Bessie's. Everybody in town knew that horse.
You never was one to think much about consequences.
Despite the gloomy situation, the memory made Huey smile.
His wife wouldn't even speak to him.
The truth finally came out. The truth will come out for me and you, too.
Well, I always knew I might have to pay the fiddler when I pulled that stunt on old Noonan. But getting in this mess wasn't my fault.
I'm not blaming you for it.
Walter spread his blanket on the dirt floor and stretched out.
Fact is, I always wished I had a little of your recklessness. Every time I felt tempted, I stopped and thought about it first, and then I didn't do it.
Thinking too much spoils the fun.
Are you having fun now?
Not much.
Huey looked up again at the roof and thought how easy it might be to dig out. Maybe after dark. Sometime in the late afternoon, he heard the bar slide away and the bottom of the door drag against the hard-packed earth. The bright light hurt his eyes. Grady Welch motioned for him and Walter to come out.
Supper's ready at the kitchen. CC says it's all right for you all to come down.
And risk contaminating the crew?
He's starting to lean a little in your direction, so don't do anything to abuse his hospitality.
We'll even try to be nice to Fat Frank Gervin.
Huey and Walter followed Grady to the bunkhouse. The kitchen took up one end of it, sharing its space with two plain dining tables and four wooden benches. Grady showed the brothers where to wash.
The cook's kind of contrary. Old Soapy always wants you to wash your hands, whether they need it or not. He'll think better of you if you comb your hair, too. There's a comb laying by the washpan.
A cracked mirror hung attached to a post. Huey looked at himself and rubbed his rough chin. He saw he needed to shave. He tried to do that every week or two. Grady washed first, drying his hands on a community towel.
You never want to get the cook mad at you. The worst a boss can do is fire you, but a contrary cook can starve you to death.
The cowboys were already at the tables, their plates filled. A couple slid down the bench to make room for Huey, Walter, and Grady. Fat Gervin got up and moved to the other table. Grady passed Huey a platter containing several slabs of fried steak.
Here, have some of old man Jessup's stray beef. And you'll be wanting some whistleberries, too.
Grady handed over a bowl of red beans. Huey was heartened to see that most of the men evidenced no hostile feelings, though he and Walter remained under suspicion. Fat was an exception.
Nothing worse than having to eat in bad company.
For all his mutterings about bad company, it seemed to have no adverse effect upon his appetite. Tarpley was not there.
CC don't often eat with the hands except when we're out with the wagon. It hurts him to watch cowpunchers putting away so much high-priced grub. The missus fixes for him up at the big house.
If that was Grady's idea of a big house, Huey thought, it'd be interesting to see what he called a little one. The cook leaned against the door jamb, watching with satisfaction as the men devoured the results of his labor. He was a wizened little fella, built on lines similar to Tarpley, except that his stomach stuck out like a pregnant woman's. He wore a flour-dusted sugar sack tied around his waist as an apron. The brand name showed through in reverse. Huey ate until his stomach hurt. He couldn't remember when he'd had such a good meal, or as big a meal. He turned to the cook.
These sure are good fixings.
That's what CC pays me such a big salary for.
It's mighty generous of Mr. Tarpley to feed us like this.
Gervin gave the Calloways a narrow look from the other table.
It's customary to give condemned men a good last meal.
Huey tried to think of an appropriate retort. He decided it might be wise to keep his mouth shut, though it was a strain.
Fat, it ain't etiquette to talk with your mouth plumb full and your head plumb empty.
Apparently, the other cowboys agreed with Grady. Face coloring, Gervin bowed his head and shoveled a big chunk of steak into his mouth. Gravy trickled from his lower lip and down his broad chin. Huey made up his mind that if the opportunity ever came, he would set fire to Gervin's shirt tail. The cook walked to the open door and peered out.
We got company coming. Three men.
Flour and dried dough stuck to the hand he raised to shade his eyes.
Looks to me like one of them's that ranger.
Grady got up from the bench and joined Soapy at the door.
Damned if it ain't. I better go tell CC.
As Grady headed for Tarpley's house, Frank Gervin grinned at Huey, his eyes mocking.
Ranger's been known to make short work of cow thieves.
Huey felt fresh hope.
Well, if it's the same ranger me and Walter met the other evening, he can vouch for us.
Huey reached with his fork and speared another slice of steak from the platter.
I believe I feel like eating a little more.
Huey glanced toward the other table.
If it's all the same to you, Fat.
I don't like anybody to call me that. My name is Frank.
CC calls you Fat.
Mr. Tarpley ain't just anybody. He's the one that pays me.
I'll try to remember that, Fat.
A tall, lanky man stepped into the open doorway.
You all got any supper left? Me and my prisoners are as lank as gutted snowbirds.
Who you got here, Lynn?
A couple of boys that taken a liking to other folks' cattle. Recognize them, CC?
Can't say that I do, but they don't look like Sunday school teachers. Ah, damn, that's my good thoroughbred he's riding.
Huey left the table and went outside. There, handcuffed to their saddles, he saw the pair who left him and Walter with the stolen cattle.
That's the ginks I was telling you about. The ones that call themselves Smith and Chum.
Smith looked daggers at him. Chum trembled a little and stared at the ground.
Smith ain't the name his mother gave him.
He took a small notebook from his pocket.
They're both here on the fugitive list.
He took a better look at Huey, then at Walter, who had come out to stand at his brother's side.
Well, I see you boys found yourselves a job.
Huey nodded toward the prisoners.
We did, with them. We didn't know they was driving stolen cattle.
Tarpley jerked his thumb at Huey and Walter.
You know these boys, Lynn?
Yeah, we shared a camp a few nights ago. They was looking for work. I'm glad they found your place.
They didn't. I brought them here as prisoners.
Tarpley walked up to the older thief who sat on the thoroughbred.
Are these boys telling it straight that you hired them without letting them know those cows were stolen?
I don't admit to nothing.
You owe us 6 bits apiece. We won't charge you for that second day.
You'll keep your mouth shut if you know what's good for your farm boy.
Tarpley gave Huey a look of regret.
Ought to have known you were telling the truth. Nobody would make up an excuse as dumb as yours. You'll have to admit, though, you boys look suspicious.
Like I told you, Huey, the truth always comes out.
Tanner had sized up the situation.
CZ, wasn't you telling me you've been shorthanded? These boys are looking for a job.
Tarpley gave Huey and Walter a solemn appraisal.
Now, most of the cowpunchers that drift through here have got too high an opinion of themselves. The price of cattle being what it is, man can't afford to pay what they think they're worth.
Well, we figured a dollar a day wouldn't be too much.
Tarpley raised an eyebrow.
I heard you say you hired on to these thieves for 6 bits a day. Would you charge an honest man more than you'd charge a thief?
Well, money ain't the only thing in life. It's just that when you don't have any, it can be sort of inconvenient. 6 bits will do.
He turned to his brother.
Won't it?
I reckon.
Money's wasted on cowboys anyway. They blow it every time they get to town. Better stays with a man who knows how to invest it.
Would you mind, CeCe, if I took the Callaway boys to town with me? I'd like them to swear out a deposition against these two renegades.
Sure, take them. I ain't put them on the payroll yet anyway. Time enough to do that when they get to work.
CC, it's too late to set out for town with these two. You have a place where they might be kept overnight. Otherwise, I'll have to handcuff them to a wagon wheel or something. Not that they don't deserve it.
Use that old dugout over yonder. That's where I put these boys.
Maybe it ain't my place to speak up, but that roof ain't too sturdy. I was figuring on busting through it tonight so me and Walter could get away from here. These two could do the same.
Smith gave Huey a look that could have withered cotton. His lips moved in a silent threat.
Maybe cuffing them to a wagon wheel is best idea after all. That old dugout always did leak.
Tanner led the rustlers toward a wagon.
You ought to have kept your mouth shut, Huey. That Smith will hate you from now on.
Well, that's all right. I don't like him either.
Huey thought that whoever named the town Upton City must have been a reckless optimist. But at least it had the bare essentials of urban civilization. He saw a modest stone courthouse and adjacent jail, a general store, and a blacksmith shop. Tanner pointed to a boarding house where transient drummers, lawyers, and the like could bunk and get a decent meal.
They'll even feed cowboys if they're washed and curried. It doesn't cost so much, you have to sell your horse to eat there.
Huey was more interested in a square-fronted frame building that sported a sign reading Spiritus Liquors and Billiards.
That means saloon, don't it?
I didn't figure you farm boys would have much use for a place like that.
Well, Walter don't, but he's just barely come of age.
I'm old enough. I'm just not crazy about the taste of whiskey.
Pa had never held with whiskey except for medicinal purposes. However, he had been sick a lot after Ma was buried. At the moment, the saloon might as well be 100 miles away. Huey was too broke to buy a drink. Smith hadn't paid the 6 bits he owed, and it seemed unlikely he ever would. He'd been surly as a chained dog all the way to town. Chum was mournfully quiet, his eyes downcast. Now he looked at the courthouse and adjacent jail with palpable fear.
I hear they got gallows in there.
No such of a thing. See that big mesquite in the courtyard? They use that. It's cheaper.
Tanner winked at Huey.
But if you was to decide to turn state's evidence, I think they might let you bust rocks instead of stretching rope.
You'll keep your mouth shut if you know what's good for you.
If he knew what's good for him, he wouldn't have gone with you in the first place. But I guess he's a slow learner. Kind of reminds me of an old horse I once had. Dumbest creature I ever strapped a saddle to. Though I guess I wasn't too smart to keep on riding the critter. Well, sir, that horse never could learn to stop eating when he was full. He kept foundering himself until finally one day his stomach exploded and he died. It was such a mess that they finally decided just to burn the barn down.
Chum looked ill.
I expect you buzzards have been in better jails than this, but you gotta remember that this is ranching country, and ranchers hate to pay taxes. If you want a nicer jail, you'll need to do your stealing in a rich county.
Holding the pistol, Tanner started to dismount. Smith lunged at him. He caught the ranger off balance and pushed him out of the saddle. Tanner landed on his back. Smith whirled his horse around and bumped violently into Huey's. The impact jerked Huey's foot out of the stirrup and twisted it. His spur jabbed into the flank of Smith's mount. The horse made a high jump. Smith sailed from the saddle and flopped on his stomach. Tanner pushed up onto his hands and knees and grabbed him before he could get to his feet. Smith wrestled, but he couldn't break loose from the ranger's determined grip. A gray-haired man with bent shoulders and a look of dyspepsia stepped out of the jail to meet the riders. A star shone prominently on his vest. He quietly thrust the muzzle of a pistol against Smith's chin.
I do, Tanner. You want me to shoot him?
Nah. It caused me too much paperwork.
Tanner roughly pulled Smith back to his feet. He gave Huey a look of gratitude.
Thanks, cowboy.
Huey's heart was still thumping from the unexpected action.
I didn't do nothing. He bumped into my horse.
Smith flashed Huey a look of hatred.
If I'd had time, I'd have gotten out of his way.
The sheriff resembled old Noonan back in East Texas.
Tanner, I ain't got bunks enough for 4 prisoners. A couple of them got to sleep on the floor.
Just 2 prisoners, Jed. The other 2 are witnesses.
They all look like outlaws to me.
He gave Walter a closer study.
Except maybe that youngest one.
Walter grinned at Huey.
What's the charges?
Cow theft here, and there's paper on them back east for considerable worse.
Stealing beef, huh? Well, they'll see mighty little beef in my jail. They'll maybe get some cornbread and beans.
If the judge is around, I'd like him to take these 2 cowpunchers' depositions.
As far as I know, he's in his office.
I'll help you get these prisoners stoppered up good and tight. I'll take these boys over to the courthouse and have them tell the judge all they know.
I'll remember you. I'll come looking for you when I get out.
Hell, feller, you ain't getting out.
He saw to it that the pair were placed in separate cells. Smith might intimidate his partner with shouted threats, but he would be unable to get his hands on him. Huey figured Chum for the type to break down and confess all. Smith bristled behind the bars.
When do we get something to eat? That ranger ain't let us have nothing since breakfast.
You'll eat when I get in the mood, and right now I ain't in the mood.
The sheriff turned to Huey and Walter.
Have I got to feed these 2 as well?
They've earned a good supper over at Mrs. Pearson's boarding house.
Me and Walter are flat broke.
I expect the judge will authorize the county to pay for it, since you're here as witnesses.
Just see that it ain't charged up to jail expenses. The commissioner's court has been riding me about the high cost of upkeep over here.
As had been the case with the sheriff, the silver-haired judge's first impression was that Huey and Walter were Tanner's prisoners. His severe countenance softened when the ranger explained why he had brought them. He summoned a clerk to take dictation while Huey and Walter described their experience with the rustlers. Tanner pulled his fugitive book from his pocket.
Let the record show that the one who calls himself Smith is Olin Trumbull, wanted in San Saba County for horse theft, armed robbery, and murder.
Tanner glanced at Huey.
He's accused of murdering the man who testified against him in the horse-stealing case. The other one is Chumley Barringer, wanted in Tarrant County for armed robbery, assault with intent to do bodily injury, and stealing a hog.
The ranger shook his head.
Looks like a man who commits armed robbery and assault ought to have more ambition than to steal a hog.
Huey barely heard the last part about the hog. His mind was on the part about Smith Trumbull murdering a man who testified against him. It shook Huey a little.
Sounds like he don't turn loose of a grudge.
You don't need to fret about him coming to get you. When them people over at San Saba get done, he'll have a permanent rope burn right under his jaw.
I'm not worried.
Huey could still see in his mind's eye the look of hatred on the thief's face.
But if you're gonna send him somewhere else, what do you need statements from me and Walter for?
You're cowboys. If the courts back east don't do their duty, we'll bring those two back here for trial on charges of cow theft.
Well, we're done here. Let's put our horses away, then go eat.
The livery stable was nothing more than a modest wooden barn with several corrals out back. The owner leaned against the doorframe and nodded what passed for a welcome. He was dressed like a cowboy, and a broke one at that. Huey would not have taken him to be a businessman.
Sandy, we'd like to put our horses up for the night.
The stableman gave Huey and Walter a quick looking over.
I seen you coming to town a while ago. Looked like you had some prisoners.
A couple of fellers got careless with other people's stock. These boys ain't them.
Just two is all there was?
Two is all I caught, but coyotes sometimes run in packs.
Huey guessed the stableman's nickname came from the color of his shaggy hair. The man opened a corral gate for the horses.
Nah, throw them in there. You can steal the saddles in the barn. You want me to feed them, I guess?
Naturally. I'll need you to write me out a receipt so I can turn my expenses into the state.
It won't be but a couple dollars.
Without a receipt, they won't pay me back. They'll complain if I ask for an extra two bits. For a dollar, they'll holler like a stuck pig.
You'll get your receipt. Just seems like a lot of fuss over a little of nothing.
Huey tended to agree with the stableman. Money had never been a primary concern to him. So long as he had enough to put a little jingle in his pocket, he felt rich. At the moment, however, if a dollar would buy a whole saloon, he couldn't afford a bar rag.
How's cow business, Sandy?
Slow. My kids would go hungry if I didn't have this stable. A little man has an uphill battle, but I ain't gonna be a little man forever. I'll have a herd as big as Tarpley's and Jessup's someday.
Tanner looked back as he walked away.
I got to give Sandy credit for ambition. He's trying to build a herd of his own, but he's squeezed between CC and Eli. Wherever a blade of grass comes up, there's a 2C's or a J-bar cow waiting to graze it.
That's why I'd rather be a cowboy than a cow man. I don't have to worry about things like that.
I think Sandy's got the right idea. A man ought to try to build something of his own.
They turned toward the boarding house.
It'd be good for a change having a meal cooked by women folks. Man gets awful tired of fixing for himself wherever the night catches him.
He explained that the boarding house served the town in lieu of a hotel.
Better watch your manners. Old Lady Pearson don't like the smell of whiskey, and she don't stand for monkey shines. He'd been known to grab a cowpuncher by the scruff of his neck and throw him plumb off the porch. She's a woman of powerful opinions.
Mrs. Pearson met the three as they ascended the steps. Her greeting was civil, but hardly warm.
Mr. Tanner, I do not fancy feeding prisoners at my table.
Now, Mrs. Pearson, they may look a little fuzzy around the edges, but these ain't prisoners. They're witnesses. They've been of help to me on a case.
She continued to give the brothers a stern appraisal, especially Huey.
Well, then, maybe.
Barely more than 5 feet tall, she was built for strength rather than speed. Huey guessed she would tip the scales at close to 200 pounds, much of it pure muscle. Tanner had said she'd been married twice, burying one husband and running the other out of town. She was not looking for a third.
Have all of you been at the saloon?
We've come directly from the courthouse. These boys are sober as old Judge Stone.
I've seen Judge Stone when he couldn't make it up onto the front porch. But you come on in. We'll be ringing the supper bell directly. You know where to wash.
Thank you kindly, ma'am.
Strong women made Huey uneasy. He had a feeling it was their intention to take over the world, if they had not already done so. Some reckless politicians were even talking about letting women vote, a radical notion from Europe or some other foreign country. Walter made it a point to wipe his boots on an old piece of rug that lay just outside the door. Mrs. Pearson noticed and nodded approval.
Sometimes when I see a cowboy with good manners, I get to hope in this old world may survive its tribulations after all.
Yes, ma'am.
Walter stood, hat in his hands. Huey wiped his feet, too. Several men stood on the porch, awaiting the call to supper. Huey tried to guess at their occupations. It was difficult to tell which might be a lawyer and which a whiskey drummer. He decided it didn't matter much. They were all peddling something. A young woman stepped out onto the porch and rang a small bell. Huey guessed she was not Mrs. Pearson's daughter, for he saw no resemblance. She was taller, but probably weighed a little more than half as much. Her face was pleasant enough, even a little shy. Huey would not regard her as pretty, but she was not really plain either. She was hard to classify. He might not have given her a second look, except that the only women he'd seen in a while had been Tarpley's wife and daughter, and then only at some little distance. The daughter was definitely what he would call plain. Being CC's offspring, she couldn't help it. Some of the men made a rush toward the long dining table. Huey started, but Walter caught his arm.
Let's show them that cowboys do have manners.
More than lawyers and drummers, anyway.
He watched two men grab for the same chair and try to glare one another down. Huey noticed that Walter was looking at the young woman. It occurred to him that his brother's show of manners was not altogether for Mrs. Pearson. The landlady held on to one chair at the head of the table.
Judge Stone is coming. This seat is his.
The judge walked in, leaving his derby hat on a rack in the parlor. Mrs. Pearson pulled the chair out for him. She glanced at Huey, Walter, and Tanner, then nodded toward the far end of the table, away from the judge and away from the meat and potatoes. If he'd had any doubt, Huey knew now what she thought about cowboys. She seemed to have doubts about rangers, too. Mrs. Pearson stood back from the table, watching the men eat. At length, she turned to the young woman.
Eve, you better fetch another platter of biscuits. I don't suppose any of these gentlemen have noticed the high cost of flour.
The young woman fetched a pan from which she replenished the biscuit platter.
They're mighty tasty, ma'am.
Walter broke a biscuit in two and slathered butter on half of it. Watching the young woman instead of the biscuit, he spread some of the butter on the heel of his hand. She noticed and smiled. Walter blushed and started to lick the butter from his hand, then thought better of it. When the woman looked away, he wiped his hand on the underside of the cotton tablecloth. Mrs. Pearson brought out a pan of cobbler pie, giving the judge the first helping, then letting the pan work its way down to the cowboy end of the table. By the time it reached Huey, it was empty. He poured molasses into his plate, mixed butter in it with a table knife, and then swabbed it up with a biscuit. That was his notion of a sensible cowboy dessert anyway. The boarders began leaving the table. Huey grabbed another biscuit to take with him.
That was an awful good supper, Mrs. Pearson.
Though Walter spoke to the older woman, his gaze fell on the younger one. Mrs. Pearson turned away.
Even a cowboy deserves a decent meal once in a while. God knows they don't get many in a cow camp.
She escorted the judge to the door. The judge was a steady customer. Cowboys just dropped in occasionally and could not be depended upon for repeat business. The young woman smiled at Walter.
Come again.
I will. What time do you serve breakfast?
At 7 in the morning.
I'll be here at 6, sitting on the porch and waiting.
Walter started to leave, but turned back.
I heard Mrs. Pearson call you Eve. You kin to her?
No kin, I just work here.
I'm Walter Calloway. It's a real pleasure to make your acquaintance. I guess you know Mr. Tanner. Oh, and this one here, he's my brother Huey.
Howdy.
Huey stooped to retrieve his hat, which he had tossed at the rack on his way in, but missed. It lay on the floor. Huey waited until he was on the porch before he put it on. Mrs. Pearson stood there watching the judge's departure. She said nothing to the cowboys or Tanner. Out of earshot, Huey turned to Tanner.
The old lady wasn't real tickled about us being here, but I don't reckon she has any compunctions about taking the county's money.
Eve was awful sweet, though.
Kind of forward with her, wasn't you?
Walter looked puzzled.
I'm generally a little uneasy around women folks, young ones especially. But
There was something about ye.
You look like you got gas on your stomach. What you need's a strong shot of whiskey.
I'll set you all up to a drink.